broadcasting live worldwide.
Thank you for tuning in to
TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Good evening and welcome back to Masks weekly radio show on Family Matters. Masks, mothers and fathers align, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages. We do not just do little kids, and we do not just do teens at risk, and we do not just do addiction. We are a referral agency for all mental health issues, including addiction, molestation, in school issues, whatever it is that you may be struggling with your loved one or yourself. Feel free to give us a call on our confidential and can be anonymous helpline. Our number is 718-758-0400. If you need a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient clinic, an evaluation maybe, please give our number to somebody that may be useful. Maybe they need a referral for themselves, for your loved one, maybe a neighbor or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Jot down our number. I'll repeat it. 718-758-0400. So last week we spoke about anxiety. We had two courageous moms on the phone, one speaking about their own anxiety, one speaking about realizing one of their children has anxiety. And anyone that wants to hear previous shows, you can go on to Mask Parents, parents in plural, a mom and a dad, maskparents.org. And all our shows are listed there. And I said that this week we were going to talk about having a professional on about anxiety. But before we do, I decided to change it a little bit and first talk about trauma. So I'm very honored to have with us tonight Heather Munro, who is an integrative psychotherapist, and she specializes in relational trauma. She happens to be the senior clinician at Newport Academy and Newport Institute and the founder of Munro Wellness. And Heather utilizes her expertise in mindfulness and expressive therapies to guide the residents at Newport Academy in their healing process. So I want to welcome on tonight, Heather. Thank you for being on with us. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much, Masks, for everything that you do. It really makes a difference. So I'm just so honored to be here with you.
Thank you. So, you know, with COVID-19, anxiety is a big deal for everyone, even when they didn't have anxiety before. Well, now they may for sure have it. But I want to talk about trauma first so that my listeners understand, you know, for some, anxiety is part of their DNA, but for others, it may have come out of a trauma that may have happened in their life. Mm-hmm. So first, I'd like to ask you to share more about your experience in general working with teens and families, please.
Yeah. So I've been in the field for almost 15 years now, and I've worked with teens and families, and I mean, really runs the gamut, addiction work, mental health work. And what I was realizing when working with all these different populations is that it's not why the mental illness, it's why the pain. And what I found was that trauma, we all have it, and it is the underpinnings of so much unrest in ourselves and in society. So, you know, trauma isn't just about what happened to us. It's actually more so what happened inside of our bodies. So trauma is very subjective. And my work with teens and their families is allowing that window of tolerance to deal with uncomfortable emotions and very upended times. So widening that window of tolerance so that we can stay in the present moment, because trauma takes us out of the present moment, which is why so many of us are in trauma reaction right now with anxiety, even if we didn't have it before.
Yes. And so many of our teens are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. How do you see COVID times being different than working with teens prior to COVID?
Sure. So COVID has, there's just developmentally, where a teen is developmentally is that they are in a place of autonomy. They are looking to become independent from the family to a certain extent. They're exploring their own beliefs and ideas. Their peer group means more to them, or not more to them than their family, but their peer group kind of takes the place of what was used to just be the family unit. And so their developmental stage is really looking towards their friends, looking towards independence. And the way that their brain develops in the teenage years is that the feeling center of the brain is very heightened, and the frontal cortex, the thinking ahead, the being able to sort through problems, that's kind of muted. So if you think about COVID and what it's doing to adults right now, you can kind of only imagine what it's doing to teens in their it's interrupting their developmental stage. So they're not able to be as autonomous as they want to be because they're in lockdown, or their parents, you know, want to create more boundaries and containment around them to keep them safe. And so they don't have that connection that they usually do with their friends, on like an authentic connection face to face. Plus, their own anxiety is going to be heightened because of the unrest that's going on. There's so much unknown right now. So what we're seeing at Newport is an uptick in the mental health issues that we're seeing. So COVID has exacerbated any underlying mental health issue that was already kind of percolating.
Absolutely. But there is another issue, and that is the parents.
Yes.
So parents are talking about what's going on. They're talking about politics, some parents, there are two schools of thought. There's those that, you know, that are wearing masks, and then there are those that aren't wearing masks. And there's a lot of conversation going on amongst parents, their friends, their peers, their relatives, their children. But kids are home 24/7 almost for some families, and they're listening to the anxiety of their parents. So what do you want to say to parents to help them during these uncertain times?
In short,
yeah, right.
You know, so many things, but in short, get quiet. I think that there's a lot of talking, and there's a lot of anxiety, and there is a lot of a lack of emotional regulation right now in all age groups. So one of the ways that we emotionally regulate when we're feeling out of control emotionally is we talk. You know, talk about the news, we talk about what's going on, and it actually creates more anxiety instead of being able to see things with a clear mind. So what I see is that teens are very much a reflection of the family system. So if you are having, if your teen is having anxiety, the first thing I tell parents is look to yourself. What are you doing for self-care? How do you manage your anxiety? How do you manage your depression? You know, things of that nature. And then the other thing is, how much are you watching the news? Like, how much is the news on in your house? How much is your teen being exposed to the violence of police brutality and protests and the climate of poverty that's coming out with COVID? I mean, COVID has put a spotlight on so much of the trauma that goes on culturally in America. So it's going to be so important for parents to begin a self-help practice, like mindfulness practices, like meditation, so that we can come, that our children can come to us and know that we aren't going to escalate their anxiety because we feel grounded to them and safe.
Very important. So if you are having these discussions, try not to have them around your children. These debates, let's call them debates, because so many social media influencers are talking on their food, you know, maybe they're a food influencer, and they're suddenly talking about politics. And people are complaining. It's giving them so much anxiety. I know that people are losing followers today. So we really need to narrow down the conversation area when we are debating or we are speaking to friends, family members, not to do it around people that have anxiety, and also not to do it around the children, because kids are getting infected by it.
Well, I wouldn't say don't have the conversations I would say be curious about what your teen feels about all this. You know,
well, that's what I was getting to next.
Okay.
That is exactly what I was getting to. What I said was about those that do have anxiety, be careful around them. Then let's go to exactly that. What you're saying, what I wanted to say next was, it's important to speak about the issues with your teen and have an open conversation to find out, is it causing you anxiety, or your spouse, or whomever it may be, your loved one? So to bring that up, what would you suggest, or how would be the best approach, so parents could open that conversation when it comes to a teenager?
I think the best approach is through curiosity. So it's going to be question driven. It's not so much statement driven, but question driven. So it would be, you know, how do you feel about the BLM movement? How do you feel about what's happening between the police and the protesters? Like, what's your take on that? So it's not going into conversation trying to convince or mold their opinion in one certain way or another. It's more just gathering information. We just want to understand what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and what's going on inside them. And then it's going to be affirming when they tell us how it makes them feel, affirming those feelings. So it's called active listening. So what you're going to do is, after you ask the question and they answer it, you say, yeah, I hear you're saying that what's happening with the Black Lives Matter movement is really important, and that it creates a lot of anxiety when you see on the news the protesters and the cops kind of coming to odds. I can imagine how much anxiety that would cause you. So just reaffirming the feelings, rather than not affirming and going right to a solution. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Great.
And social media has such an influence on today's teens. But yes. Mask has been busier than we have ever been in 23 years that I'm doing MASC, over 105,000 families that we've serviced over the years. And more we're getting calls from individuals, mm-hmm. 30s, 40s, 50s, 60-year-olds, saying, I need a therapist for depression, anxiety, and this all has become just a regular day at MASC, whereas before we were doing more family, children, young adults, elementary age school for prevention of at risk. And regular, you know, we would get our regular family calls for their spouse, for themselves. Today, we're getting hundreds of families that are calling for themselves, asking because of anxiety. But let's talk about the profound influence of today's teens and what are some of the dangers that you've been really experiencing with these families and how to best equip and protect them from all the aspects of social media.
Well, I'm sure
in 1 minute or less. No, I'm joking.
I know, right? These could each be a whole show, but they're wonderful questions, and I'm sure that you are aware of some of the statistics with iPhones and then the uptick in mental health issues with teens. But one of the interesting statistics is that teens that spend 30 minutes on social media are 10% of those teens were depressed. Teen girls were depressed. Teen girls that spent 6 hours on social media, it sounds crazy, but it's actually pretty normal these days. 26% of those teen girls experienced depression. So we know that the more time teens spend on their phones, the higher likelihood that they're going to be depressed or have a mental health issue. So one of the things that we can do to protect our children against that is to set limits on how often the phones are activated in the house. We have a lot more control because they're home a lot more. And that means that parents' phones too. So, phones, especially when it interrupts authentic connection. So there's this thing called ambiguous grief, where someone is physically there, but they're emotionally not available. So you're kind of in this ambiguity. Are they really there or are they just kind of like ghosts? And that's kind of what happens with smartphones these days, is that you have families sitting and eating together, but everyone's on their phone, so no one's really engaged in connection.
That's for sure. And if you just drive down the street and you see people at restaurants, they're sitting and eating in the restaurants outside, they're all set up now outside on the streets. I'm at a red light and I'm watching and I'm saying, why are they going to dinner? They're hungry, but they're not even looking at each other. Couples are on their phones. Children and parents are on their phones during the whole red light dinner.
It's really sad.
Very sad, really sad. And we have school, the issue of school, and the distant learning, the possibilities of the schools opening with masks and distant learning possibly for the fall semester. So how can you help parents with their teenage to manage time? I mean, they're on the screens all day long, right?
Yep, absolutely.
It's today's world. So it's very difficult when a teenager says, but I want to relax. I just was on the screen learning all day.
Yep. Yeah, another great question. So we have a lot of science-backed techniques that promotes wellness and resets our brain. Screens do not. they're in the schools. We can't help that, especially with online learning now, at least for this year, for sure. So what parents are really going to want to take charge of is, okay, my kid is going to be on a screen with each class. You're going to want to know that your child's schedule exactly for the school year. If they're doing online learning, you're going to want to know the schedule for that. If this is at home, then you're going to want to break that up. So when that class is done, you're going to want to get them out of their seats and into and outside if possible. Now, let's say they're back at school, right? And so they come home from school and they've been on their computer all day at school. Then you might want to implement a rule in the house, which is you create a basket and it's leave your phones in the basket for an hour and a half. After school, it's no screen time. It's reading time, or it's you know, using your imagination, doing art, going for a walk, seeing a friend, something else that doesn't have to do with screens. And we have to get creative as parents around this.
Well, creative, and also, I mean, it takes courage to say that and do that, because the fighting and the arguing, yes, and the resistance is going to be difficult. So I, yes, think both parents need to be on the same page. Yes. Parents cannot use the phone during that time either, unless they're working, you know, in the home. And you need to have the conversation about it to possibly give them a heads up, like, okay, starting the day after Labor Day when school starts, this is going to be our new policy. And by the way, Heather, there is a very cute little, I got it, I think, on my WhatsApp. Somebody sent me once about a grandmother that put the basket, you know, she greets her grandchildren at the front door with the basket, and everyone has to put their phones in the basket when they go visit grandma. So
I love it.
Great. I loved it. So if I find it, I'll send it to you. Anyway,
please.
So yeah.
Also, a quick tip is, and just research fact, is that research shows that kindness and structure, the balance of kindness and structure, is ideal for a child. So when you have too much, when you have a lot of kindness and there's warmth and love, but there's no structure in the household, that is going to have negative effects on a child. Just as when you have too much structure and not enough warmth and openness and kindness. So it's just like, this is how it's going to be, and you're going to give me the phone. That doesn't work either, and that has negative effects. So what you just said is spot on. Have a conversation with kindness and openness, that this is what we're all doing. This isn't about you. This is about us as a family.
Heather, I just want to touch on the signs. If you can tell my listeners about the signs that parents could look for, actually, to recognize when a child is struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. I always start off by saying this to parents. You know your child better than any clinician or therapist could ever know this human being. So please trust your instinct if you feel like something is off. There are physical signs too, but what is going to motivate you first is usually a gut feeling that something just feels off. And then we go to look for actual facts and behaviors. So some of the things is a change in sleep. So, and that would mean being up past midnight or something. If they weren't up at that, you know, all hours of the night, now they are up all hours of the night. They're sleeping the entire morning into the afternoon because their sleep hygiene's all messed up. A change in friends, a lot of isolation from the family. So coming home, going right to their room, not coming out until dinner. If that, you know, that usually is quite severe isolation. Also changes in mood. Now we know that teens are hyperreactive because of the amygdala and the part of the brain that deals with emotions. However, you know your child. If there is an uptick in like severe mood swings, then that's going to be a sign too. also appetite changes. Either they're eating more or they're not eating much at all. And then school, grades dropping. Another thing is things that used to give them pleasure, it no longer gives them pleasure. And any hobbies that they have, they kind of drop off, and you find them kind of stuck to the phone more and more and more and more. Those are all signs.
Right. So you are from Newport Academy, and I was wondering if you can just share a little bit about Newport Academy, because we have only a minute left our show, please.
Yeah, sure. So Newport Academy is a series of mental health centers for teenagers who are dealing with mental health issues such as depression, anxiety, bipolar, and then the symptoms that go along with that, like cutting, eating disorders, substance use disorders. So we treat that child holistically. And we also have, so we treat that child holistically and expressively in modalities of yoga, meditation, clinical, cognitive behavioral therapy, all proven modalities that work with teens. But the most important thing about Newport is we look at the teen and the family as one. So it's not just the teen that comes to treatment. The family is in our family program, and they are very, very involved in treatment.
Excellent. Well, it's really wonderful having you on, Heather. Thank you very much for making the time. I know you're a busy, busy person at Newport Academy, and we do send families to Newport Academy and have great results. Always a motivated client does very well at Newport Academy. But also I want to mention motivated parents, because it's important that they understand, parents, that while their loved one may be in an inpatient program, wherever it may be, they must be in a program to learn about what their child is, or their loved one, their spouse, is learning in the inpatient program. So thank you very much for working with the families as well.
Oh my gosh, thank you for all that you guys do. It's such an honor to be in a profession with people that just want to do better, you know, for everyone else. And so I thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure.
Thank you. Time flies. I know. We're running out of time. So firstly, I just would like to say that this evening's show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe, and if anyone wants to sponsor the show to be in memory of your loved ones, please contact MASS718-758-0400. We would like to continue these shows. Please go online, maskparents.org, and make a donation so that we can continue getting these shows going, and you can listen to our previous shows online as well. I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening and a beautiful Shabbat. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
We're speaking with Radio Dr. Rafael Kelman, a best-selling medical author who specializes in a holistic approach to healing. He's an expert in treating fatigue, thyroid, autoimmune diseases, and unexplained complex issues for over 20 years. Many people are still afraid to go to the doctor for routine visits and to treat non-COVID problems. Dr. Kelman, how safe is it to go to the doctor?
It's not safe to neglect your health. Research shows that right now, heart attacks, diabetes, autoimmune disorders, and other illnesses have gone up significantly. At the Kelman Wellness Center, we have strict sterilization standards to ensure your safety. If you feel more comfortable in your home, well, we'll come to you. A visit to the doctor may save you a trip to the emergency room.
For a free 10-minute consultation in office or via telemedicine, call 833-MD-HELP-ME. That's 833-MD-HELP-ME or KelmanCenter.com. Don't forget to check out his science-based weight loss program. Dr. Rafael Kelman's radio show, MD Holistic Healing, airs live Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on WSNR 620 AM.
Ow. Are you interested in hosting your own radio show and podcast, or perhaps a TV program? TalkLine Network can help you get on the air from 1 hour weekly to 24 hours a day. Ideal for ethnic, foreign language, medical, business, and religious broadcasting. We also have full-time radio stations for lease, as well as FM HD channels. For more information, please call 212-769-1925. That's 212-769-1925. Or email zevbrenner@gmail.com.